Blog Talk Radio.
And then him gone last. And all some really want is a little restaurant. So tell it to
have to keep it turning, never make it stop. Now never listen to the one them who are say that I can't. I'm done.
There ain't no use for you sit down and help yourself. There ain't no use for you sit down and wait for help. No, no, no. Get up off your rump and help yourself. Jah help those who simply help themselves. Look for rewards from no one else. Welcome to the hottest show on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Vernon Muhammad, and you are tuned into the No Romance Without Finance show. I thank you all for joining me on this wonderful Sunday evening. We are going to get into some good and heavy stuff. We got a heavy-hitting panel discussion going on and a conversation that has been taking place over the last several weeks, really. We're talking about the economic blueprint, Muhammad's economic program to end poverty and want. And I have on the line with me quite a few guests, and we are all anxious to get into this conversation. So, Sister Gidget, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm right here. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam, good sister. Why don't you tell us who's on the line with us?
Oh, okay. Well, we have with us tonight a couple of people. Well, I think maybe three people from the group Let Us Make Man, which is a Facebook group. They conduct a conference call every Saturday night at 8 o'clock. And they have very interesting topics. And last night, of course, we were blessed with their presence to launch the first telethon for the Economic Blueprint program, Ending Poverty and Want. And so we are blessed once again to have with us Brother Albert Muhammad, who founded that program. From Cleveland, Ohio, Muhammad Mosque number 18. So come down front and center, soldier, and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit something about you.
Assalamu alaikum, family. First and foremost, all praise is due to Allah on behalf of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, our leader, teacher, and guide, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I greet you in the nation. Greeting words of peace and paradise. Assalamu alaikum.
Wow.
It's always an honor and a pleasure working with my beloved sister. She tried to tell me how to say I'll just say Sister Gidget. And, you know, tonight is our first time being on this particular show. And I'm anxious and excited to be with the family, Brother Vernon, if I said it right. Y'all got to work with me because I'm not good with remembering names. However, it's just a pleasure. We all on the same mission by the grace of Almighty God Allah, and that is to bring the life-giving teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to our people, as taught today by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Let Us Make Man is a program that has been launched to gather all together under one umbrella, be it Hindu, Buddha, Christian, Judah, atheist, whatever your persuasions is. And what we do on Let Us Make Man is we pick particular topics and we base our discussion around that topic on our theme in Let Us Make Man. There's no wrong answer. There's no wrong statement. We always strive and learn from one another. So it's just an honor tonight to be with this panel on this show tonight, and inshallah, as we garner the support of the economic blueprint, Muhammad's economic blueprint, throughout the world, not just here in America, but throughout the world, that we garner support for the life-giving teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and freedom for ourselves to learn to do for self, as Brother made clear at the opening statement. So with that, with no more for myself, is Sister Patricia on the line right now?
Yes, sir, I am. I sound like I'm.
Well, Sister Patricia, I'm going to give you the honor to introduce yourself. Go ahead, beloved. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brother Albert.
Yes, sir.
My name is Patricia Muhammad. I am a MGT in the city of Cleveland, Ohio, Muhammad's Mosque number 18. And I work with Brother Albert on the show, Let Us Make Man. And I've had the pleasure of meeting Sister Gidget and being on several of her shows. So Thank you very much for the invitation, Sister Gidget, and I look forward to working with you once again.
The honor is mine, dear queen. Thank you.
Awesome. We actually have another caller online. We actually have a caller from 301 who I believe is going to be joining the discussion. So caller from 301-210, introduce yourself and welcome to No Romance Without Finance.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Vernon. This is Brother Andre Muhammad. Yes, sir, brother. Well, I want to say thank you, brother, for having such a timely show, especially with the economic blueprint being talked about right now, being implemented. This show couldn't have come at the series of shows couldn't have come at a better time. So I just want to get into the subject.
Brother, everywhere you look, the time and what must be done is becoming more and more apparent. So we're definitely going to do that. Let's jump right into this conversation. And I want to start with a quote that I heard from Dr. Claude Anderson. For those of you who don't know Dr. Claude Anderson, he is the author of Powernomics. He used to be a member of the Department of Commerce under President Jimmy Carter. And since, you know, leading the political realm, he has worked tirelessly on the front of economic development for black people. Throughout America. Here's a quote that he's been, somebody's got a lot of background noise. Somebody's got a lot of background noise. Since the beginning of the 21st century, since you know, year 2000, he's been heavily warning that if black people don't get something started for ourselves economically, we will be a permanent underclass in America by 2014. Now, 2014 is not very far away, so there's a very, very limited window of time that we have to do something for ourselves and segue right into the conversation that we want to have. Just about everyone who's on the phone is a follower of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and he's been echoing his call since the late 70s, early 80s, that the black man in America must do something for self or suffer the consequences, and we all know that he's a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So ultimately, the whole concept of black liberation, economic development, was put into motion, put into effect most relevantly by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And if you ever get a chance to read the book, Message to the Black Man in America, you'll see all about Muhammad's economic blueprint. So fast forward all the way up to today, we are knocking on the door of 2014, and economically, black people are in one of the worst positions of all other people in America. So we are in dire straits, and we have to do for self. So, Sister Patricia, I want to ask you this first question to start things off. Why do we need to pay attention to Muhammad and his economic blueprint to end poverty and want?
Did you say Sister Patricia?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question? I didn't hear the very beginning.
Sure. The question is, why do we need to pay attention to Muhammad and his economic blueprint to end poverty and want?
Well, the way I'd answer that would be we need to pay attention to Muhammad's economic blueprint because nothing else has worked for the black men in America. And it came from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and it's being brought to us once again through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And these are the leaders of black people in America. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad met with God. And so he has the knowledge that we need, and he has given it to us, and this is what we need to focus on. That's the answer.
All right. So we get the impression, from, at least from the answer that you've given us, that all the things that we've tried so far really haven't gotten us anywhere. I mean, I read an article in the Final Call recently. It talked about how we marched in, we sat in, we cried in, we prayed in, and we actually slipping further behind. We're in worse conditions than maybe in the 50s and the 60s when we really could say that we had a community. now things have fallen apart so far that we are almost in a position where we can't even get ourselves up. We can't even pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. We only got a limited window of opportunity left. So that's at least one reason why we should pay attention to this program and take a closer look at what Elijah Muhammad was talking about as it relates to economics. Brother Albert, let me bring you in. What do we stand to gain by supporting this economic program, and what do we stand to lose if we ignore it?
From my humble opinion, family, our gain is total liberation, independence, self-sufficiency, and I can go on and on. If we choose not to adhere to the final call in terms of the economic blueprint, which sets the stage as a vision for our people, we will ultimately perish along with America, because she is on her deathbed. Her being on her deathbed is a clear sign that our only escape is through the life-giving teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as taught today by Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So this economic blueprint sets the stage for liberation, freedom, justice, and equality. Thank you.
Now, at a certain point, we're going to get into this whole talk of liberation and whatnot, because, you know, we got various groups that listen to No Romance Without Finance show. You know, some are Christian, some are, you know, in corporate America, some are Muslim. Some have no religious affiliation. And sometimes when you start talking about liberation and, you know, this, that, and the other, and the whole idea and concept that maybe you and I understand of, you know, we're a nation, you know, a nation of our own, that, you know, that kind of goes up and above the head of some people. So, Brother Andre, bring you in real quick. Should Christians support this? Should Sunni Muslims support this? Should Latinos support it? Is this for everybody, or are we talking to ourselves?
Well, ultimately, thank you, brother. Ultimately, it's for everybody, but of course, we must first start with ourselves. And I think before we can go further, I want to just echo the question you asked to Sister Patricia about what do we have to gain from the economic blueprint. And the thing, of course, that I want to add to it is that we have life to gain. If we look at the first three letters of economy, eco, you know, you always think of ecosystems, ecology, that kind of thing. And the definition of eco is a community of living organisms. So we first, of course, have to have these life-giving teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and put them in practice in order for us to be a community of living organisms, our living people. And, once we become an enclave of living people, of course, we can always invite others, you know, as need be. And that's part of an economy. It, of course, is going to spur other circles of economic activity, our other life. So that's just where I want to leave it for right now.
Okay. You know what? You actually used the word that I really like and I've been trying to push and promote on this show, on previous episodes of this show. I talk about something called ethnic enclave economics. Everybody has heard of Chinatown. Everybody has heard of Little Italy and Florida. They have Little Havana and Chicago. I heard they have a Koreatown. And you know there are certain pockets of New York City where it's only, or primarily, why I say only, is it really exclusively for members of the Jewish faith and Jewish persuasion. Ethnic enclave economics. What's wrong with the idea, the concept of an enclave where you and I, where people who look like you and I, where people who have similar beliefs and values and morals, you know, just modes of operation, getting together and looking out for ourselves and creating a safe haven for us to live and prosper and thrive. Is there anything wrong with that?
The question's for me?
I have questions for anybody. I threw it out there.
Yes, sir. Well, of course, nothing is wrong with that. I mean, the Chinese, for instance, there's a Chinatown in mostly every city, but I have yet to be able to go buy, you know, barbecue chicken, you know, or whatever, you know, that black people may produce, what little we produce. I've never seen Chinese invite even the Koreans into their community because they're a small enclave. But now if you go to the nation of China, the country of China, I'm sure you'll find a small Korea town, a small, you know, whatever other ethnic grouping you'll find, because at that point when they become a nation, they can absorb other ethnicities and it won't affect their economy. We, of course, first have to become a nation, I believe, before we can start inviting others to come and partake of what we have. We need, of course, to enter into trade and commerce with others, you know, on the road to becoming a nation. But I wouldn't try to help or sustain anybody else until we have arrived ourselves, so to speak.
All right, all right. Let me read a quick quote from the final call, and then I actually want, Brother Albert, I want you to actually explain what the economic blueprint is. What is Muhammad's program, all right? But real quick, let me set the backdrop, you know, with the conversation that we're having now. Let me bring it on home. In the previous issue of the final call, the one that has an economic plan for Black America on the front, reading from the very center article, and it's a lecture given by Minister Ishmael Muhammad, who's the national assistant to Minister Louis Farrakhan. And in this article and in this speech that he was given, just basically delivering a message from Minister Farrakhan, he said, "Brothers and sisters, no man can want for his people more than what the people want for themselves. For example, no matter how much a father wants good for a son, no matter how much a father or mother want one of their children to grow up to be a lawyer or a doctor or an athlete or some other career or profession, if the child does not want that for his or herself, then the parents remain with the dream and it is unrealized in the child. And when it comes to the freedom of a people, the people have to want to be free in order for them to realize that the light of their own freedom, in order for them to realize the light of their own freedom." All right? That's a significant statement. All right? So we got to want, we got to know and understand the condition that we're really in and want to change the conditions that we're in bad enough so that we can actually get to that point. Minister Farrakhan, 2-3 years ago, in 2011, 2 years ago, said, "Business is warfare, and in case you haven't realized it, we are at war. Our economic survival is at stake." And then he went further to say that we must be raised in consciousness so that we can participate properly in this war that's taking place. Everybody's heard about a schoolyard fight. You know, if somebody presses up against you, you better put up a shut up. You better do something to save or defend yourself, or else you're just going to catch a whooping, and nobody wants to catch a whooping. So we are actually in that position now. We have to do something. We have to take drastic measures in order to produce the results that are actually going to put us in a better position. So here on the stage, center stage, with the spotlight shining, is Muhammad's economic blueprint to end poverty and want. Brother Albert, what is this program? Exactly what is it?
All right. Somebody go again. First and foremost, the economic blueprint, as we know it, is a program that is literally set up by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. To end poverty, want, and things of this nature, meaning food, clothing, housing, industrial jobs, etc. from the life-giving teacher, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a message to the black man. The message just says, and I quote, a sound economic plan. The economic plight of black people of this land has so long been neglected by so-called leaders that even our own people have forgotten its basic importance. So to have economics or to have such a plan put in place, it sets the stage to establish a free nation. And when I used the word liberation earlier, which represents freedom, in this economic program, it makes us self-sufficient, independent of others, able to do for ourselves what we have long depended on others to do for us. So in this economic program that has been introduced to us in the Nation of Islam from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad initially and rebirthed once again to us by the Honorable Minister Farrakhan Khan, is to set us free. Free from want, free from starvation, free from economic depression, free from job indiscrimination, free from housing indiscrimination or discrimination, giving us an opportunity to set up our own, to be able to construct our own and do for self. As we have done in the past, history has shown our people are able to do for self and hold our own in certain parts of the South. When we were an independent people, when there was Jim Crow and segregation, when blacks had their own, when we were able to maintain. So when you have an economic program that is set up for our own, as the one brother said, we have to do for self first in order to incorporate others, be it Christian, atheist, Buddha, whoever you are. But we have to start somewhere. So my humble understanding, I'm just a child. My humble understanding that this economic blueprint or the word economics gives us the ability to set up and do for self and grow as a liberated, a free nation, a free people in a society that has not included us from the time we land on the shores of America. Thank you.
All right. That's one interesting take on it. Sister Patricia, I want to put a different spin on this now because I heard what Brother Albert said, right? And he talked about, you know, not having money and income and poverty and all of this stuff. As someone who goes out and works among the people to distribute the Final Call newspaper, to distribute, you know, something that's going to help them learn something and actually improve our condition, when I'm out there, the number one response that I get, obviously I hear more no's than yeses, but the number one response that I'm getting from people is, oh, I'm good. I'm all right. No, thank you. So when you try to explain Muhammad's economic blueprint to end poverty and want and the need for us to acquire land to people, how do you get past the, oh, I'm good. No, thank you. No, I'm all right. How do you get past that?
Well, in my opinion, we have to explain to the people. Someone laughing at me?
I'm laughing at how everybody's starting, you know, with the, in my opinion, or, you know, like the disclaimer. This is just a conversation, free-flowing conversation. Just go ahead with it.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, when we're talking to our people, when they don't understand that they're not good, because we've been living in America for over 400 years, and we think that it's okay since we're not saying yes, sir, master, no, sir, master, we're not okay. So we have to inform them of the condition that we're in, that we don't even realize that we're in, and let them see that things can be a lot better.
Hmm. Okay.
That's right.
That makes it simple and plain. That actually makes it simple and plain. Even if you are okay, even if you're good, things can actually be better than they are. And technically, if people really look at it, they're not okay. You know, things aren't that good. It doesn't even take long. You don't even have to scratch the surface even just to get to something that people are dissatisfied about and something that people want to change at least or to be better. And that's one of the things that I think that we can benefit from and get out of participating in Muhammad's economic blueprint. So what I want to do, if there's any reputation that I have, whether it's good or bad, I definitely want to have the reputation of challenging people to do something. We're not just here to talk. We're not here to sound good. We're not here to say, oh, yeah, I heard the show, good stuff. I don't need a pat on the back. If you have not gone to the website, economicblueprint.org, go right now and visit it. Open up another window if you're listening online. If you have access to it on your phone or if you have access to it through a computer, go and take a look at the website, economicblueprint.org, and find out exactly what this is all about. Okay? That's for anybody who's listening or who's hearing this for the very, very first time. What we're going to do right now, since we're at the top of the hour, normally I take a break. We've got a little brief message from our sponsors. We're going to come back after that break, and then we're going to go ahead and jump back into this conversation and figure out where do we go from here. Because, again, we're not just here to talk about it. We're here to be about it. So you're listening to No Romance Without Finance, and stay with us. We'll be right back on the other side of this break. Welcome back to the No Romance Without Finance show. I'm your host, Brother Vernon Muhammad. Peace and blessings. We're on the line with a panel of people who are promoting Muhammad's economic blueprint. Since we're talking about economics and black people, it's only fitting that right now we talk about our sponsor. For those of you who haven't learned or haven't heard at this point in time, brothers and sisters from the Nation of Islam have gotten together and began manufacturing and producing our own brand of bathroom tissue, something everybody needs, something everybody uses, and when you run out of it, I guarantee you, you're going to go somewhere to find more of it. Well, instead of going outside of our community to buy it, purchase it for our homes, for our mosque, for our schools, or wherever it is that we purchase it for, we can now purchase it right in our own community and know that we're supporting a company that's going to in turn support our community. Freedom Paper Company, black-owned, Muslim-owned. Visit the website, freedompapercompany.com, and learn about Freedom Bathroom Tissue, Freedom Brand Paper Towels, Freedom Facial Tissue. We offer a whole line of janitorial, sanitation, and food service products. So if your church, your mosque, your school has a dinner program, has a lunch program, has bathrooms, cleans the bathrooms, anything that you would possibly go to Walmart, Target, Sam's, BJ's, or any of those stores to purchase, you can purchase right within your own community and circulate those dollars, because it makes no sense for us to talk about economics and independence and liberation and land of our own, and we skip past the people who produce what we need in our community and go to someone else's community to buy, and we don't benefit ourselves at all. So freedompapercompany.com, make sure you check that out and patronize businesses that will patronize and support your community. All right, let's jump right back into this conversation about Muhammad's economic blueprint. We had the challenge, right? This is where we kick it up a notch, get into the action phase, okay? And I want the conversation to flow, because this hour is going to go pretty fast. We're actually less than an hour to go. But what is it that people need to do? What are we telling people to do with this program? We found out what it is. You know, we found out, okay, we need to do something. We need to do something economically. We need to get with the idea of independence, and we need to be liberated, and, you know, we want things to be better. Well, how will this program make things better? What are we asking people to do? What is it made of? What's the program about? Brother Andre?
Well, I would say, of course, every economy, it has a large economy, and, of course, you have your smaller circles of economic activity. And, of course, the Nation of Islam, what they're doing at headquarters, that's the big picture of buying the land and us getting up and going, or staying where we are and just being prosperous. But what I wanted to get to is, what can we do as an individual? I think that's really what the question is. What can we do as individuals for this next phase of implementation? Of course, I would believe that we have to start with the preparedness phase is where we are now. You know, if you're getting ready to take a trip or something, you start preparing for it. You know, you get your luggage, you look at the weather, you do all of these things to prepare for your trip. And here we're about to make the biggest trip in history, we have not really prepared. And I know what I'm about to say is going to sound a bit extreme, but this is coming from the standpoint of me being a financial planner for 10 years, and I got out of the industry in 2007 when I saw that the economy was beyond life support. And one thing that I was taught as a financial planner, when I first became a financial planner, my manager called me into his office and he said, okay, what kind of investments do you have? And I said, oh, I have this 401K, I have this IRA. And the first thing he said to me is, he laughed and said, get rid of that garbage. And I said, what? This is what I've always been taught to do. And then he said, no, in the financial, said, we have rules for the sheep, the people that we make money off of. This is what we sell to them, to make them think that they are doing the right thing for their future. But what I want you to do is to only invest in property, gold, silver, or land, one of those tangible things. And if you don't know how to invest in one of those tangible things, here's a self-directed IRA that will allow you to buy those tangible things that you control. You can liquidate them. You can do what you can knock. You can fill them. You can pick them up. You can do anything with them that you want. This is what we do. So what I am saying that I believe is a radical solution for a radical time, as the minister told us, we have to be prepared to have a radical decision, make radical decisions, solutions for this time. I cashed in all of my 401K, my IRA, I cashed it all in. I paid my 10% penalty because I was preparing myself to go out and buy property to move to the next phase. And since we know that we are about to vacate the devil's system, give him back. You know, let's get out of this system. Give him cash in the 401Ks and IRAs. Take the 10% penalty. And there's other ways of doing it without taking the 10% penalty, but get out of that system and start going into Muhammad's system. We have to show our people, the ones who say that I'm good, I'm straight, I don't need that. We have to show them the fallacy of this economic system that they're in. Of course, because our people are all confused. They're looking at TV. They hear one week that the economy's coming back and people are buying a whole lot of clothes and things, so the economy's coming back and job growth is going up, the unemployment rate is going down, which are all lies. It's just clever bookkeeping wicked bookkeeping on the part of the devil. So we have to show them the fallacy that this debt that America is in of over $100 trillion, when you add in everything, is impossible to pay. The interest on it alone is over $300 billion a day. It's impossible for America to pay it. So that has to be pointed out to our people who think that there's some hope in this system. We got to break that down completely. And after you break that down completely, then you can show the clean glass next to the dirty glass. That's my take.
That makes sense. I really like that. That does make sense. And yes, you started off by talking specifically about the core of what this program is about, land, getting land.
Yes.
Brother Albert, what can we actually do with land? Because, you know, if you trace the history of black people in America, maybe many of us started out down south, but, you know, we left all of that land and farming alone. You know, give us the city. That's where the jobs are. That's where the opportunity is. You know, what's this talk about land? Why should we start going back to the idea of land? What can we do with land?
First and foremost, your line is definitely breaking up, Lovett. But I think I heard part of your question in regards to the land. Is that correct?
That's correct. What do we do? Where's the opportunity in us going back to land?
Before I answer that question, Lovett, just allow me a few seconds to say this.
Sure, go ahead.
That whenever we speak on behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we speak in a sense of making it clear that statements that we make is of our own sometimes. Because oftentimes people will get misconstrued or even misunderstand. So that deletes disclaimers. However, as an FOI who's constantly in the field with the Final Call newspaper, and when we come across the law found or the people, et cetera, who have these statements of I'm fine, we definitely have ways and find ways, as you said, to help our people understand the importance of supporting their own and doing for self. The land in itself actually came, once again, from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad showing us that we can't acquire the land, as Student Minister Ishmael Muhammad said in Tuskegee, Alabama. It's right under our feet, so we need to go nowhere. The land is here that we can acquire, we can purchase, and we can build and separate ourselves from those who, for whatever reasons, does not, and we know most of the time the reasons, who just shows no ability to work equally with us. So it is a must that we acquire land. The land is right up under our feet, whether it's in the south, it's in the north, it's in the west, or it's in the east. There's ample amount of land throughout this country that is just sitting idle, waiting to be purchased, waiting to be constructed and things done to create opportunities and create a nation within the nation. So the ideal of this land and what we need to do with it is ideals and visions that was given to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So the land, brother, is right here where we're standing, right up on your feet, right up on our feet, and it takes unity and a constructive plan in order to get our economics together and believe in one another and work together and be able to do for self. That's just my humble opinion. Thank you.
Okay. You know, one other thing was pointed out, you know, the conversation about genetically modified foods, genetically modified organisms has been taking place in America at least since the 90s. That's when I heard about it, although Monsanto has been on the scene, and this has really been an issue since the 70s. But recently, we've heard more and more and more in the news and in the newspapers and on TV about how genetically modified foods are actually taking over the food supply in America. So one other benefit that we have to actually going back and thinking about land and acquiring land for ourselves is the fact that if you're dependent on the supermarket, your local supermarket, if you're dependent on restaurants and eating out all the time, chances are you're eating things that are actually no good for you. You're eating things that are actually working to kill you and destroy life. So the way to combat that, the way to overcome that, is actually to grow healthy food for yourself. You can start your own garden, and, you know, maybe that'll sustain you, maybe that won't sustain you and your whole family. But think about collectively, millions and millions of black people all around the country working together to start to solve that problem. The fact that almost 95% of our food supply is infected with this genetically modified organism DNA. That's one major, major benefit and major reason why we definitely need to look at going back to the land. That's just simple, that's just common sense. Where we get our food from is a hazard and a danger to our health. We have nowhere to get good, healthy food unless we grow our own food for ourselves.
Yeah, simple. And that's a good point, if I may jump in. Dr. Risley, the head of agriculture in the Nation of Islam, was in 2011, the year of the farm, he went to various mosques, and he was pushing the FOI and the MGT to start gardens for the practice, so that when we do get our own land, whether it be in the cities where we live, or whether we go to the south, we'll already have some expertise in growing our own food. And again, with getting in the preparedness state, with getting rid of these 401ks, IRAs, and that kind of thing, I think it would be a great idea if we bought some of these vacant lots in the inner cities. If we bought any plot of land that looks unusable, I think we need to do that now as a means of getting prepared for our exodus, because we have the money to get started with these things. We just have to get over our fear of getting rid of the money, and that comes when we really don't believe in the devil system anymore. Many of us have not broken the belief in the devil system. And that's evident when some of us, unfortunately, still talk about retirement. So I'm sorry I got to say that. I just have to bring it up. We have to really show and prove that we believe what we say we do, and it's going to take sacrifices in order for us to get to the other side.
I'd like to add something to that, Jill.
Go ahead.
About the length. Why it's important for us to get the land. You know, when our ancestors were slaves, they worked in the cotton fields in the South. And those slave owners, or whatever you want to call them, they got rich just from the cotton. Back then, cotton was like oil is today. You know, America is the oil. And these people, they got rich off the cotton. So the Honorable Minister was far kind of teaching us, we need to go back and get the land and raise get the cotton for ourselves, because that's going to help us make our clothes. We have clothing factories. We can trade with the country with just the cotton. It's not just that, but also cattle. We need land to raise cattle. Cattle is food. Cattle is milk. Cattle is also leather, you know, things like that. So that's one of the reasons why the land is so important.
You know, you raise it. There's so many good points that are being raised in this conversation, and that's why I wanted it to be a free-flowing conversation. You know, so many good points just come out of what people say in their own opinion. But since you raise a good point, and you're actually speaking my language, trade, economics, you know, producing what can actually be used in markets, not just here where we are, but markets all around the world. In 1995, when we stood on the, when black men stood on the mall in Washington, D.C., we took a pledge, and of all the pledges that were recited on that day, the one that has stood out the most in my mind was, I pledge to strive to build hospitals, schools, businesses, and factories, and enter into international trade for the benefit of myself, my family, and my people. And that has always resonated. Ever since 1995, that has resonated in my mind. And the fact that I said that I would definitely engage in the activity of international trade for the benefit of myself, my family, and my people. I was talking with a brother recently, a teacher in the course that I'm taking on trade and commerce. I was surprised to learn the fact that just like we talk about stock exchange, There's actually over 139 stock exchanges around the world. And if you're wondering, cattle, where cattle is not traded in the supermarket in the meat section. Cattle is traded on exchanges, okay? There's over 139 exchanges in the world, and there are 29 on the continent of Africa alone where they trade cattle, where they trade cotton, where they trade bananas, where they trade coffee. All of these things are what we could produce if we had some land. Once we, as the minister said over and over again, we produce what we need, and when we end up with a surplus, then we actually have something to go and enter into international trade for ourselves. The conversation I was having with the instructor of my course was one where he showed a map of the world, and there was a little circle that enclosed China and Japan and Vietnam and Cambodia and all of those Far East and Pacific Island states and nations. And the info on the graphic, the information said more people live in this circle than outside the circle. There's more people living in that circle, that area of China and Vietnam, Cambodia, Japan, Korea, wherever over there you can imagine, than live outside. But every place on the planet represents a market. We are standing on the precipice, as Minister Farrakhan has said. We're standing on the precipice. That means the cliff. All we have to do is take the leap of faith and step into the biggest opportunity that our people have ever seen. When we make a move for, as Brother Albert said, independence and liberation, and as Sister Patricia said, land and producing and start to enter into trade, what we're actually doing is opening ourselves up so that we can target markets all around the world, okay? And I want to use that statement as a backdrop to what I read on your show last night, Brother Albert. I quoted a small section of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's book of Land and a Nation. The name of the section is Of Land and a Nation, and that's from the book, Message to the Black Man in America by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Looking at it right now.
Yes, sir. Do you as educated and professional men... You on it, huh? That's it.
Yes, sir.
Do you as educated and professional men and women desire to be recognized forever as the mental slaves, beggars of white America? Today, the international conception of honor, pride, and dignity is not concerned with individuals within a country, but is rather concerned with your work and value as part of an established nation. In order to be recognized today, you must represent your nation. We must understand the importance of land to our nation. So this whole push, the whole crux of Muhammad's economic blueprint, the whole bottom line of the economic program to end poverty and want is so that we can acquire enough land so that we can establish ourselves as an independent nation and then to take advantage of the opportunities for international trade in markets all around the world as a self-sufficient, independently recognized, powerful nation of ourselves and of our own. That's the ultimate goal of this. And now, Sister Patricia, this is where I'm going to throw you an alley-oop, all right? You got to bring it home with this one. It's painless to do this. What does it take for us to actually accomplish this?
Yes, sir. You're right. It is so very painless. All we need to do is donate 5 cents per day.
Oh, my goodness.
35 cents per week or $1.40 a month or $18.20 per year. Our children and grandchildren can do that. 5 cents a day, you find that around the house.
5 cents a day. You know what just hit me when you just said that? You remember how back in the 60s, in the 50s, in the 60s, how everything in Black America seemed to be rallying around, or so much of Black America seemed to be rallying around the civil rights movement. And no matter whether you were an elder in the community, no matter whether you were, you know, working class, you know, parent of young children, or even if you were school-age children, everybody was participating. Everybody got involved. They sat in, they marched to schools that didn't want them to have them there. They went to places, walked down the middle of the street. Everybody got involved. Can you envision, can you imagine actually having millions of Black people just dedicating themselves to saving 35 cents a week? Can you envision
that? I'm so sorry, beloved, but your phone is cutting in and out, and I just wanted you to be clear. I want everybody to hear you.
Oh, no, my phone is cutting out.
You need to move sound, brother.
That's right. I gotta stand over here on one foot again. Can y'all hear me now?
I hear you well.
We can hear you.
Okay, I forgot about that. All right, let me stand on my right foot. Yeah, I was saying how back in the 50s and the 60s, the civil rights movement had involvement, had participation, almost 100% participation. Everywhere you look, men, women, children were involved in this effort. So you just saying, you know, 5 cents a day, 35 cents a week, that just gave me a vision of having everybody, all of Black America, participating in this grand effort. You know, everybody taking 35 cents a week, man, woman, and child, and all putting it together to work for the common good. How many, do you know the numbers, the figures on how much that would actually produce if everybody who's asked for actually does that?
Well, if just 16 million wage earners, that's, you know, Black people that are working, that actually have an income, if only 16 million of us gave 5 cents per day for 1 year, we would have over $291,200,000.
Wow.
And that's just 16 million wage earners. Now, there, that doesn't include the children who can give, like you said. Like, you know, in schools they have little rallies where my grandson, they're supposed to bring in bottle tops. If they bring in a nickel a day, you know, how much more would that add?
Hmm. That is amazing. That is amazing. That's inspiring, actually. Sister Gidget, I'm looking at the switchboard, and I see we got some people who have their hands raised and callers want to join the conversation. I didn't put the word out there for everybody. If you want to participate in this conversation, if you have a question or a comment, feel free to call. The number is 646-716-5971. And if you press 1 on your phone, we'll see you and we'll bring you into the conversation. So, Sister Gidget, is there anybody who wants to join the conversation?
Oh, yes, sir. You have a lot of calls. So I think this is Louisiana, if I'm not mistaken. So we're going to go to area code 225 first. Area code 225, your mic is live.
Can I be heard?
Yes.
Yes, you can.
We can hear you.
Yes. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa-alaykum as-salam.
Thank you all so much for such a wonderful panel. As I was listening to the panel discussion, I think it's just really, really super important right now that our language is razor sharp when we say certain things. One, for instance, when we talk about doing for self, it's not that Black people have not attempted and are not continuing to attempt to do something for self. But each time that we begin to do something significant for ourselves, our open enemy and constant oppressor, particularly in Louisiana, Mississippi, always comes, and when he can't deceive us into believing that he's good, he murders the leaders of that operation, and it's a lot of ways that he murders us. He usually takes a welfare check and gives it to a Black female with the agreement that she will take the Black male out of the house. Or he'll use some type of poison to disrupt what we're doing. So in the message to the Black man, point number one, we have to separate ourselves from the slave master on page 69. And in saying that, brother, every mosque should not only have deliberative dialogue, which many of us abandon the process of deliberative dialogue around the topic that you all are talking about, particularly each mile should have a land fund, local land fund, on what area we are going to buy. And it shouldn't be a monologue, but it should be a dialogue around us doing it. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that in order to save this nation, it was going to take radical change and radical solutions. And the thing of it is that I don't believe he was just talking to the Caucasian nation, but even in our nation, many of us have to stand up and just be crystal clear. We joined because we wanted to do something for ourselves. We desire to reclaim our own, and we want a section of town so that our children can have a chance. We are appalled when we hear people say, oh, we need to do for self, as if many of us are not. Gaddafi was doing something for himself. They murdered him. And any black person that's doing something for themselves, they're murdered. The next thing is that when we talk about slavery, when we say back in slavery or black people left the land, it is not that we left the land down south. It's that we were murdered and forced off the land, and then the murderers followed us to the inner city so that they could continue to suck our blood. And so I just, you know, want to call from Louisiana and let you know how much I really appreciate you all lifting up the light and the teachings of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan high enough so that even those of us down south can hear y'all. So y'all keep up the good work and be strong.
Thank you much, my brother. We definitely appreciate you weighing in all the way from Louisiana. So thank you oh so much. And hopefully
and
you'll continue
name,
to come
brother?
On back.
What's your name, caller?
My name's Louis Ali from the Hot Black Coffee Party.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you, sir.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, ma'am.
Brother Lewis, I had you on the show before, brother. Peace and blessings to you. Welcome back.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'm enjoying y'all.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All right. So I see we have quite a few callers. Who's next, Sister Gidget?
Area code 443, and I don't recognize that area code, but area code 443, your mic is now live.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Chance, Brother Carlton.
Yes, sir.
Good
to hear you, brother. Thank you for calling in on the Liberal Man's
Talk. It was good meeting you, Brother Vernon, and good seeing my brother Andre.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And I just wanted to come on to the call and make a couple of points, maybe, that we can just a point. I don't have a question.
Go ahead.
One of the things you need to look at in the message to the black man economic blueprint is that point number five in the economic blueprint, where the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that we have to observe the operations of the white man. He is successful. He makes no excuses for his failure. He works hard in a collective manner. You do the same. Well, I'm mentioning that because understand that this Caucasian or this system is a system, you know? And I think the system is a system that they built with certain accountabilities and transparency, certain protocols that happen. Okay, say if I put, even if it's a failing system, if I invest my money in Apple, you know, then I can invest, you know, this, I think the stock's $500. I can put $500 in Apple, and then 2 weeks from now it could be up to $800. I can then withdraw that money that I put in there of $800 because my stock went up $800, right? Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to get at is that we have to have a transparency and accountability, and we have to also be able to see the benefit or have the benefits growing out in the economic blueprint on a day-to-day. Because when I work for, where I work at, I have a 401k program. This is something that the employer put me in. I didn't ask him to put me in it. But when I worked there, they said, well, you got a 401k, and we're going to give you, you're going to put in XYZ, and we're going to match it. But now they're not doing it no more because they said they don't want to do it now. But while I was there, they didn't want to do it no more because I just know, you know, they're trying to tighten up. But anyway, nonetheless, I still was able to galvanize some money from that, from them doing that and from me doing that in the 401k. That is my money, you know. That is something that I have benefited, you know what I mean? I would really like to be able to pull that money out and put that money into the economic blueprint, and I would like it to be able to benefit me, you know what I mean, truly be able to benefit me. When I say benefit me, I'm talking about not just me, but individuals that are going to participate in the economic blueprint. Why am I mentioning this? Well, in the future, it's going to, this $5 a month that we give, or this 5 cents we give per day, is going to turn into $290 million, if we're serious. I believe we are. And eventually, after 3 years, we're going to be looking at somewhere around $400 million that we've actually built up. So this is not a little bit, this is not nothing to laugh at. We're talking about big money now. You know what I mean? So we have to be able to think also about the blueprint developing into something that is beneficial and the people can see benefit coming out of it. Yes, we're going to buy land, and there's going to be land bought. But then we have to also think in the future, how is this land going to be owned? You know, now maybe this is already thought of, and I'm just bringing up something that I don't know about yet, but this is something that I'm thinking about. And if I'm thinking about it, then I know that other people that want to be a part of the economic blueprint are thinking about it too, or they should be. How are we going to own the land? Who's going to own the land? How are we going to make that financial system work in an economic blueprint? So I just wanted to bring those up so we can be thinking on that and pontificating on that and even writing proposals with regards to that so that we can be headed in the right direction as we build the economic blueprint. So I'm like,
I love this. I love this conversation. This is the conversation that needs to take place among progressive people. And the fact that, you know, we're not on the line tonight talking about Sunday night football or talking about reality TV shows or whatever else. This is power. This is powerful right here. So I commend everybody who is taking the time out of their schedule to participate in this kind of conversation. You're absolutely right, Brother Carlton. We do need to start educating ourselves so that we know what to do with this land and with this opportunity when it actually does become a tangible reality in our hands. We've got to know what to do with land. If you get acres and acres and hundreds and thousands and millions of us can actually relocate, migrate to another area, how are we going to handle that? How do we handle the civil engineering that takes place? How are we going to actually turn the land, the raw land, into developed land that's going to be productive? We can't wait for them to figure that out. Every one of us needs to know about that. If we're talking about becoming a nation, we need to be a nation of organized, knowledgeable people. Okay? And I love that this conversation is taking place, and we keep referencing the Nation of Islam and our mosques and whatnot, but there are people who are going to be listening to this that may not be members of the Nation of Islam and may not be in a mosque or whatever per se, but this is actually for them. I wanted to have some of the Latino representatives from the Nation of Islam on board. Maybe we'll do another show where we have them on, because I would love for members of the Latino family to understand why this can be a benefit to them also. Why we are really one, and unity really can solve 95% of all of our problems. So this is something, as Brother Andre said, can benefit all of us. Everyone in America who's got a right mind and who can get with the principles that are the basis of what we're talking about here when we talk about a nation of our own, land of our own. You can get with that. This is for you. So I hope everyone will take a closer look at Muhammad and Muhammad's economic blueprint and listen closer to what Minister Farrakhan is saying, not just, you know, depend on the little snippets that you might get from the news, because the reality is we're in danger and we have to do something to put ourselves, all of us, in a better position. Okay? So we are closing in. I think we got about 20 minutes to the show left. How's the panel doing, Brother Albert, Sister Patricia, y'all all right?
Yes, sir. I'm doing well.
All right. We have a few more callers. All right. Praise be to Allah. We have a few more callers that are on the line. Who's next, Sister Gidget?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had to come off mute. Okay, we're going to hear from area code 514. Area code 514, your mic is live.
It's me, David P. Finellis. How are you, brother?
My brother from the north. Peace and blessings, peace, brother.
How are you today?
Feeling good. Feeling good. And yourself, fam?
I'm doing really, really well. I can't complain about anything. This show is really, really interesting. I find it very interesting because I actually had the captain of our of the Nation of Islam here, the chapter here in Montreal, Brother Mikhail,
okay,
over at my house, and we were talking, we were discussing this exact same topic right here, the importance of uniting and you know, pulling our resources together to buy land. And I just
You mean to tell me that this conversation that we're having here tonight, this conversation is actually taking place in Montreal, Canada as well?
Yes, it was happening today at my house.
You're on the move. That's a great thing.
Well, I'm telling you, I believe that unity will solve 95% of our problems. I'm not a registered member of the Nation of Islam. However, I do base everything that I do on the teachings of Elijah Muhammad. And I just want to touch on something right here on page 202 of the Message to the Black Man. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to read something right here. I'm just going to read a short passage from here. Here's what it says. It says, "We, the Muslims, have responded nearly 100% for the past month. This savings plan is intended for all of our people in America who are from slave parents. It was not meant solely for the Muslims, but for the entire 22 million of our kind. Let it be remembered that what is good for the Muslim is good for all of our people here in America, because you are the ones we are trying to reach with good." So with that being said, I think that it's important to understand that this is all black people. All black people in North America need to take part in this. That's what I think. I think that the fact is we need to unite. Black people in Canada need to unite with black people in the United States. We need to unite with people in the Caribbean. That's exactly what we were talking about, Brother Mikhail and I. We were talking about the importance of all of us uniting so that we can be a strong, united front. We can't
act a force in this world.
Yes. So that's what I wanted to say. I wanted to say that we can all participate in it. The main goal is for that. We have something. We have land so that we can interact and trade with each other. That's what we need.
That is awesome.
Can I jump in real quick?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. You know, I was thinking again about preparedness. And, you know, at the end of World War II, the Jewish people all over the world were clamoring for a land of their own. And during that time from 1944 to 1947 when the America and its Zionist forces robbed the Palestinians of their land, during that time that leading up to that, what do you think the Jewish people were doing in preparation to go to their own homeland, their stolen homeland? What they were doing was preparing. And so that by the time 1947, 48 rolled around, I see the pictures of the Jewish people coming from all over the world with all of their belongings piled up in planes and cars and whatever means of transportation they had to get there, which tells me, and that was immediately after the war, which tells me that they were in the preparation mode years before. And our cashing in our 401Ks, IRAs, and organizing, which is the other thing that we must do, is all part of the preparation. And at Tuskegee, I noticed that Dr. Ridgely had a conference for all of the black farmers. He's organizing the black farmers. Great thing to do. We need them. We have to eat. But we also need school teachers. We need to learn. We need medical personnel. We need our health taken care of. We need all of these individuals organized now so that when the time comes for us to strike out on our own, to claim our independence in a real way, we'll have a body of organized people ready to run a nation. This is what I think we must institute into, in addition to our saving money towards the program, we must organize the labor force that we will need in all aspects of a nation.
You know, it's amazing how at some point or another over the last 10 or 15 years, all of the necessary ingredients have been put in place. You know, from the nine ministries to the deliberative dialogue process, to now the whole drive and push to get the engine of national life working, all of the pieces have systematically been put in place. And that's the beauty of following a man like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I mean, somebody who 10, 15, 20 years ago was seeing what needed to be put in place. He's been dropping the seeds, dropping the seeds for decades, so that whether it be people in the nation or outside the nation or Latino or black or people in America or in Canada, we get it at the right time and we just become activated and start doing what's going to help to benefit the whole. This is beautiful. I almost can't even talk because I'm smiling so big. My cheeks are hurting. But it's just a beautiful thing to see and to feel and to be a part of the momentum and the groundswell that's taking place. The only thing that I can, you know, trace back in history and relate this to is when I was blessed to participate in the Million Man March. Now, if you think the Million Man March, he put a call out for a million people to come to Washington, D.C. for a day, right? It was just 1 million. Sister Patricia said, what we're trying to do with this call that went out from Muhammad's Economic Blueprint, this program, is a call that's going out to 16 million black people all across America to organize and commit to contributing 5 cents a day, 35 cents a week, $18.20 a year, whether you do it in one shot or whether you actually put your nickel aside every day and do that. This is what it takes. This is the call that's being put out there. So the organization piece, the part that the work that actually needs to take place is just that. The word needs to go out and literally spread from Canada all the way down to Mexico. Everywhere in America and in the Americas where you find black people, this message and this conversation should be circulating and spreading among them. All right, so that means we got a job to do. And after we hear from the next few callers, we're going to end on the note of action. Every one of us is going to get an assignment, and we got to start carrying that assignment out, all right? So let's go to our next caller. We got about two or three more callers who have their hand raised. Who's next on the line?
Okay, wait a minute, Brother Varner. I left a message for you in the chat room, so if you're not logged on, could you log on right quick? And I want to make sure because I heard, I think Brother Albert, were you trying to say something?
Yeah, well, actually I was, beloved, but I'm truly just humble and pious and really enjoying the wisdom that is being shared at this very moment. And all I truly wanted to say in brief, in short, is I humbly appeal to everyone on the line, every listener that's listening to this call. We have to unite. We have to come together as one, work together collectively to make this happen. That's all I want to say at this point. Thank you so much, Sister Vivian. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Okay, and we have a caller from area code 973. Your mic is now live.
Welcome to the No Romance Without Finance Show.
Yes, this is Scott Shemple Patterson. How y'all doing? I'm usually following Let Us Make Man every week. Thank you, Brother Sister Patricia, Sister Melanie, and such. I'm just enjoying the conversation as well. It's a beautiful conversation. It's definitely needed. And I just hope everything, you know, goes according, you know, the plan, you know, for the total outcome of our people, because we definitely need that. We need our own, you know, our own community, our own resources. And I like what the sister was saying earlier, I think with Sister Patricia, pertains to our own land. That's something, you know, I understand, you know, as far as the, what we went through as a people dealing with slavery, but like she said, that was gold. And we could get back to that, you know, which is nurturing the land, producing cotton, producing, you know, cattle, you know, and nurturing the land, and, you know, and bring forth that life, then we'll be good as a people, because that's very important for our people, you know what I mean? We need that land. Land is very important. And with that, you can do a lot of produce. And I just like to leave that back to the panel. But I'm enjoying the economic discussion. Thanks for allowing me to be here.
All right.
Now,
glad
I am
to
so
have
mad
you,
at you, Brother Kashim. You left me out like you don't know me? Okay, that's cool.
Oh, I'm
that's
sorry. Cool. I'm sorry.
No. Uh-uh. Goodbye.
I'm sorry for the roll call, but I apologize. I'm a little slow now and then.
It's good
hey,
to hear your voice, beloved. Thank you.
Brother Hashim, you're welcome anytime, brother. Thank you for joining us on the No Romance Without Finance show. All right,
okay,
who's next?
Okay, Brother Vernon, I think that's it.
All
and
right,
I, let
all
me
right.
Remind the listening audience, for those of you who have a question, please press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll be more than happy to take your question. Those of you who are in the chat room, if you have a question or a comment you want to share with us, please type it in, and I will speak that on your behalf. But so far, Brother Vernon, that's it.
All right. We are wrapping up. We are literally in the last 9 minutes, and I say it all the time. This hour and a half goes so fast. So what I want to do now is turn it over to the panel, and each one of us, let's go ahead and make our closing remarks, and then I'm going to round it out with the homework assignment. All right, so Brother Andre, go ahead. You're going to sing the song. What?
Yeah, I'm going to sing the
song. No.
Oh, wait a minute, sister. Hold up. I can sing. Hold up. I can sing.
Let's hurry up so we can get the singing of the song, all right? Let's go ahead and hurry up. Brother Andre, go ahead and give us your closing point, and then we can get to this song. We all going to sing together.
Yes, sir. In the spirit of unity, no, in the Bible, there's only one place that money is mentioned. I can't remember the exact, I think it's in Judges, but I can't remember the verse and chapter. But in this area where it mentions money, it tells the congregation to bring their sheep, their oxen, and their grain to the temple. And if you cannot bring your sheep and oxen and grain to the temple, to share with the congregation, convert it to money, and bring the money to the temple and share it with the congregation. And in that spirit, I think is how we have to move forward, knowing that I am my brother's keeper and my sister's keeper, knowing that all we have is each other. So I would say to all of the black men who's listening to this, pull up your sleeves and let's go to work. And to all of the sisters, pack your bags. We're getting ready to go.
Mm-hmm. I like the sound of that.
Sir.
All right. So, Patricia, what do you have to say on this matter?
Well, what I'd like to say is that if everyone who are listening to this program would just work on this program, try to get 100 people to sign up at economicblueprint.org. Sign up the children. Children love to donate to good causes, and it's just a nickel a day. And I think they will be excited, and they will feel that they have a part in their future. One of the things that we came up with yesterday, Brother Albert helped me out, one of the slogans we had was, call in to donate to your future. Is that what it was?
Yes, ma'am.
If we could all donate to our future and help and have our children help donate to their own future, it would be a great thing if we go far as a people. That's all. Assalamualaikum.
Walaikum salam, sis. I like that also. There's so many good ideas and good phrases coming out of this. If we can keep our minds focused on this, oh, my goodness, something powerful is bound to happen. Brother Albert, you want to go ahead and round it out?
Yes, I just briefly make it real brief. I just want to thank Allah for the opportunity that he has extended to me to be on this line once again discussing the economic blueprint of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And as I said earlier, I appeal to every caller, every listener, every brother and sister that's on the phone. We have to come together collectively and work diligently together, not just tonight, as Brother said, Vernon, earlier, but make our word bond and know that our bond is life. So with that being said, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says, a people without vision will surely perish. And this is a vision for our future generation that we invest in and continue to invest in. I thank you so much, Brother Vernon, for your time, and I pray a lot that you join us on Let Us Make Man every Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This weekend topic, how to choose a mate. I had to promote. Thank you so much, Brother Vernon.
Hey, you are certainly free to do that, brother. If we all get together and amplify the call, that's the name of the game, and that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. So put the word out there for anything that you need. Anytime you want to come back, you're certainly welcome, brother. I'm glad that I have a new brother and a new sister as part of the family now. So thank you to Sister Richard for joining us also. Thank you to Brother Andre for joining us as well.
Oh, my pleasure, brother. Thank you for having me. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is where we get into the action. Everybody's going to get some homework assignment now, okay? And Brother Albert, when I was on your show, I made it a point to make sure that we got action items, okay? So we already know right in the early part of this show, I said if you haven't been to economicblueprint.org, you need to take a visit to that site, actually look and see what it's all about and get the understanding of what you're being asked to participate in for yourself, okay? What I asked people to do yesterday, I had a three-point plan of action. This is what needs to take place if you don't do anything else. From this point forward, this is what we need to be about, every one of us who hears this message. Number one, go to that website, register yourself, get yourself registered, or find out how you can regularly contribute to the economic blueprint. As Sister Patricia laid out, what you're being asked for is the equivalent of 5 cents a day. Whether you do that monthly, whether you do that weekly, or whether you do it one time for a yearly total of $18.20. That's not a lot over the course of a year for anybody. Go and make that contribution. Challenge yourself and live up to that challenge and exceed that challenge. Go ahead and take that action now, because that's what you're being asked to do with Muhammad's Economic Blueprint. Part two of the action plan is just as we organize in city by city, organizing committees and teams and people and groups got together specifically for the purpose of driving toward this goal of electrifying those particular local cities with this idea of making the economic blueprint reality. In 1995, the goal was everybody, as many as we can get from this area, to all go and be a part of that 1 million men who joined together in Washington, D.C. Well, now the goal is even bigger. The goal is for 16 million of us to commit to being a part of this push to acquire land by donating 35 cents a week, okay? So have at least 5 conversations a day where you introduce the idea of Muhammad's economic blueprint to as many people as you can, okay, or to 5 people. Have 5 conversations every day where you're introducing this to 5 people. Spread the word. That's what it's all about. And the third action item is you can't possibly say that you are interested in the rise of our people, you're interested in this push towards independence and liberation and economic self-sufficiency, if you're not supporting black businesses. So be radical with it. Go out of your way to do it. Do it religiously. Support black businesses anytime you can. If that means you have to change some habits, change your loyalty to some brands, change where you go to get it, do all of that, okay? Radical solutions, like Brother Andre said, let's get radical with it. I like that stuff. Support black businesses whenever and wherever you can, and make sure that we are circulating the dollars in our community so that when it's for us to raise money for land, those dollars are in our community right where we need them to be and right where we need to pull from so that we can do something to benefit ourselves and all of our people. So that's it. That's it. We are actually at the end of the broadcast, end of the show. I want to thank you all for joining us on the No Romance Without Finance show. And, again, my name is Vernon Muhammad. Make sure you come right back here next Sunday. We're going to be on with another topic. Who knows? We may be doing part two of this same topic right here, because this conversation needs to go on and continue for a good long while to come. So peace and blessings, y'all. Thank you for joining me.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Assalamu alaikum.